Good evening. So we're continuing our series on developing a godly character. So I'll quiz you. Can anybody remember what characteristics that we have gone through so far? Okay. Yeah. So kindness, that's on the list.
Forgiveness.
Returning good for evil. And that may have been it, because we got snowed out one day, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about faithfulness. So first of all, let's begin by defining faithfulness. Seems kind of obvious, maybe. The quality of being faithful to someone or something. So that means we need to define faithful. So we'll get to that here in just a bit. But I wanted to point out a couple of things about this definition. You know, the quality. So we're talking about a characteristic. So part of developing godly character is, developing these characteristics. So quality. Which implies a state of existence. So there's some sort of a time element involved here. And so when you meet someone for the very first time, you usually don't say, "You sure are faithful." You know, an employee that shows up to work the first day, "Wow, you're faithful." No, you don't hear that, because faithfulness is something that is demonstrated over time. And then there is an object to something, whether that's an organization or to someone, whether that is a friend or the Lord. So so we're going to be looking at verses and examples that demonstrate this quality of people demonstrating this being faithful over a period of time. So so let's define faithful. And this came out of the Cambridge Dictionary online. This is the British definition. Looks like the force abandoned us, so I won't accuse them of being unfaithful, because I know that they are. But a firm and not changing in your friendship with or support for a person or an organization, or in your belief or in your principles. And so you see, several words there. Being firm, being not changing, support are some characteristics. And you can see the examples there. A faithful friend. Being this is the British definition, second one there, they are faithful supporters of the Labor Party. I don't know if that's good or bad, to tell you the truth. I was going to ask Richard if he was here. And then the last one, his faithful old dog accompanied him everywhere that he went. Let's look at the American definition. It's really not much different. So, first of all, I found it kind of interesting. The first definition there said obsolete, full of faith. And so I didn't dig deep into this word, but my presumption is this is the origin of this word, is being full of faith. But it's not used in that context much anymore. But toward the end of the talk, we'll return to this a little bit, because I think that's really key in being a faithful person. Second is steadfast in affection or allegiance. So very similar to what the British there. Loyal is a synonym. And in fact, in a couple of weeks, Unnel's going to talk about loyalty. So hopefully I'm not stealing all of his material, because they are closely related. But I'll leave loyalty up to Unal, and I'll speak about faithfulness, and if they overlap, so be it. Firm in adherence to promises or an observance of duty, being conscientious, a faithful employee. And we're going to talk a little bit more about work later on. And then two more definitions that maybe we're not going to spend much time on today, but given with strong assurance, binding, so a faithful promise. Sometimes in Scripture you'll see this is a faithful saying, and that's kind of what it means, that it's something you can count on. It's binding. And then the last definition, true to the facts, to a standard, or to original, a faithful copy. And so again, we see, particularly in that second definition, second and third, steadfastness, which implies over a period of time, you know, demonstrating that you are loyal, that you consistently do your duty, conscientious. So why do we want to be faithful? So this series is called Developing Godly Character, and so faithfulness is a characteristic of God. And so I just picked out a few verses. There are many. And so we're going to look at a few verses from the Old Testament and then a few from the New Testament that I hope will maybe give us a little bit of a picture of what faithfulness looks like coming from God. And so in Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And so a faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy. And so one characteristic of God, one way that He demonstrates faithfulness is by extending mercy and by keeping His covenants. And He's willing to do it consistently over a long period of time. You know, for 1,000 generations is the image given here. But we know that it's not limited to 1,000 generations. That's just the figure of speech for forever. You know, David in the Psalms talks about the faithfulness of God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. So here, all generations, I think in the context, David is talking about, you know, declaring the mercies of God to all generations. But I think we also can say that these mercies are extended to all generations. Now, the next verse out of Lamentations. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Does anybody feel a song coming on there? No. Great is your faithfulness, because His compassion fails not. So if again, that time frame goes on for a period of time. They fail not. They are new every morning. So the compassion that we are able to receive from the Lord is the same tomorrow morning as it would be today and the following morning and so forth. And then in Joel, he's talking about a God that provides for our needs. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain faithfully, and He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And so back in that period of time, it was largely an agrarian society, and rain was important for survival. They planted their crops. They counted on the rain to come according to the season. And the promise here is that God would send that rain faithfully, the provision to meet our needs. In the New Testament, we also see faithfulness as a characteristic of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, a familiar verse, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so here again we see another demonstration of God's faithfulness in protecting us from temptation and committing to providing a way of escape so that we can always bear it. And if we do sin, we see in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, faithfulness over time. God is willing to extend forgiveness to those of us that sin. And so, you know, don't ever say, you know, God will never forgive me of this sin. It's the same sin I did before. You know, I can't be forgiven. Well, that goes against the character of God, because not only is He faithful, but forgiving is just in His regards if we are to if we confess our sins before Him. And then the final one here, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And that's from 2 Thessalonians. So again, we see a faithful God, a faithful Lord that guards us from Satan, from the evil one. And so so this is not a complete list at all. But we show that, you know, first of all, God cares about us. We see mercy, we see comfort, we see protection, and then we see provision. And probably most importantly, we see forgiveness, our ability to have a relationship with God, and it extends through all generations. I wanted to look at a few more, some specific examples here of faithfulness in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at a few here in the New Testament also. So first of all, let's look at David, and this is a situation where David was running from Saul. Saul was trying to track him down and kill him, because you know, Saul had already been informed that his kingdom was going to be taken away, and he understood that David was going to become king in his place. And so Saul got a tip from the Ziphites saying, "Is David not hiding in the hill of Hakalah?" And so Saul gathered 3,000 men and went out in pursuit of him. And David also got a tip that Saul was coming after him, and sent some of his men to look out for him. And so so it came down that David's men spotted Saul and his men sleeping within the camp. And David and one of his loyal men, Abishai, went down, and they were sound asleep, and there was Saul's spear stuck in the ground beside his head. And Abishai said, I'll just read it in 1 Samuel 26:8. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. So there's Saul's spear right there beside his head, and Abishai says, boy, it would be easy for me to just take that spear, or maybe his own, and pull it out of the ground and ram it right through him, and you'd be king. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And so David here was demonstrating character. And as the story goes on, they ended up, just taking, they took the spear and his water jug and headed away. And later on, they called out, woke them up. Saul and David had a conversation, apparently yelling over a little bit of a distance. And David said, I had the opportunity to kill you, but I didn't. And Saul says, well, you're a better man than I. He said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And this is where David made this statement here. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And so the characteristic or the manifestation of faithfulness that I would like for you to see here in this example is doing what is right, even when it appears not to be in your best interest. So right there, golden opportunity. David could have become king, but David says, no, wait, Abishai. Being king is the Lord's hands. I am not going to take away the life of who the Lord has anointed in this particular time. And so, young people, understand that sometimes when you choose to be faithful to someone, it may hurt at times. You may choose to be friends with someone who is not popular, and by extension, you become not popular. But choosing to do the right thing and to stay with that friend is you do it because it's right, not because it is popular. Let's look at the next example. So here, this is in the reign of King Josiah, when Josiah gives instructions to rebuild the temple. And it's a short passage, so I'm just going to read it all. This is in 2 Kings 22, starting with verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work, to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. And then this is the key. However, there need be no accounting made of them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Okay, how many of you, the last time you hired a contractor to do some work at your house, handed them a wad of cash and said, You don't have to account for this because I know you're faithful. Doesn't happen, does it? Maybe once in a while, someone that you know very well. But these people, you know, were faithful carpenters, faithful builders, you know, faithful overseers, and could be trusted. Last fall, Joey asked me to talk to the youth, and we were going through 2 Timothy chapter 2, in which Paul was challenging Timothy in terms of he didn't use these exact words, but being faithful to work hard. And so we went through a series that several of the men taught, talking about the soldier, the example of the athlete, and the one that I talked about was the hardworking working farmer, all of which relates to faithfulness. These are people that have to demonstrate over a period of time that they are going to do the duty. And Hans and Joanna were there, and Hans brought up a story that I thought was pretty interesting that kind of reminded me of this. On his last deployment, and he told of a situation where he and some of his men with him went out to an airstrip to meet a commanding officer flying in. The commanding officer got off the plane, saluted each other, and handed Hans, was it $400,000 in cash? And Hans said he would not have done that if it wasn't for the fact that we were a disciplined unit and had been found faithful in performing our duties. And so this was money to run their operations over there. And then the commanding officer took off and did other things. So pretty much what you see that, you know, Hans was not expected to give an account back to this guy anyway because he was trusted. And so another aspect here of faithfulness is being trusted with money, with belongings that have been given to you for a specific purpose. Okay, the next example is Daniel. And again, this is fairly short, so I'm going to read it in Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then they went on, then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And this was the episode where they basically ask Darius to say that anyone that does not worship him will be thrown into a den of lions. So this is the Daniel and the lion's den story. And so here we see that that Daniel was found faithful. You know, even the unbelievers, you would say, of that day that surrounded him realized that he was faithful to the Lord. And so the another area here of faithfulness is our obedience. Our obedience to the Lord in doing what the Lord commands us. So I've got a few New Testament examples. They're a little bit briefer. And so we won't spend near as much time, but just kind of talk about those aspects or examples of faithfulness. And so 3 John was written to a person named Gaius. We really don't know a whole lot about this this Gaius person, but something that John said to him, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well." You know, Paul doesn't even go into, depth here, what exactly this faithfulness was. But the fact that it was for brethren and for strangers, and Paul had heard about it, it seems to me that it probably related partially to hospitality, to taking care of these brethren and strangers when they visited this area. And so, I would ask, are you hospitable? Do you extend fellowship? Invite people into your home? Invite people to dinner when they are traveling through? Meet the needs of a fellow brethren and send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, as Paul writes here. He also writes to Epaphras. Again, we don't know a whole lot about Epaphras, but in Colossians he says, "As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." So again, we don't know exactly, what the characteristics of this ministering is. Is it hospitality again, or is it overseeing a flock as a shepherd? But whatever it is, Epaphras has demonstrated himself to be faithful in the ministry that that he has been given. And then Silas is the last one that I have. It says, "By Silvanus, another name for Silas, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand." And so we do know a little bit more about Silas because they went on at least one of the missionary journeys together. And so you recall Paul and Silas in jail together singing in the middle of the night. And so again, the faithfulness of Silas, and particularly, not only to God, but he had demonstrated himself faithful to Paul over a period of time, over many, many years. So these are, characters from the Bible that have demonstrated faithfulness. But do people demonstrate faithfulness today? Of course they do. And so, I just thought, you might pause and think a little bit about, who has been faithful in your life. Perhaps it's a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a youth leader, a teacher, a coach, your parents. I think all of us, if we think back, could find examples of faithfulness in our lives. I pulled one out. You don't know this woman. I picked her out because she died a couple years ago, and I could find a picture of her online in her obituary. But in her obituary, it described where she worked. She was a bookkeeper at a business in town where I grew up. She had a lot of volunteer activities, but this was one of the last lines of her obituary, and it said, "However, her passion was the children's ministry at the First Church of Christ, which is what I grew up in. She worked in the nursery and as a Sunday school teacher for over 30 years. And So she was my Sunday school teacher when I was 2 and 3 years old. And believe it or not, I remember that. Not in details, but she would bring out the flannel board with the figures. Little kids are very easy to impress. And tell Bible stories using that flannel board. And she kept it up for 30 years. Of course, then I thought she was old. I was back calculating. She was actually 35 when I was, and she was only a couple years older than my father. And I recall my mother telling me several years ago that Melrose had decided to quit when she saw the grandchildren coming of the first kids that she had taken care of, and she thought that she had done her duty long enough. So, not flashy at all, but a very important role in the development of young people for Christ. So, Melrose Kuhn. And so I just ask you, you know, who are the faithful people in your life, and how can you be faithful? So what should we be faithful in doing? We've talked about the examples from Scripture. We've talked about the character of God. And, of course, those are all good examples that we should be following. But, you know, some examples here. Additional examples from Scripture is giving. In 2 Chronicles, says, then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Now, I don't want to lead anyone astray here. What it was talking about, this particular verse that used the word faithfully, was the Levites carrying the gifts that had been brought into the temple, but the verses before that described how the people, the children of Israel, brought their gifts abundantly, so that there were great piles of them, and it was then that they were asked to faithfully bring those piles into the storehouse, and so. We have many opportunities to give, you know, to our local, to our fellowship, to many fine Christian organizations, to missionaries, to works of charity in the area, and some are called to give more than others, but giving, and particularly if you make a commitment to someone. To give, you know. So, you know, for example, you know, the Welpleys come to mind. So, they are people that have to go out and raise their own support to help work in creating the Jesus Film Project, and you know, they come through very often, and they have struggled over the past several years to keep support going, because. Many people will say, yeah, I'll give you one time, but I'm not going to continue. And those that say that we are going to support you on a continuous basis don't. And so being faithful in those commitments that you've made are very, very important. The next one here, keeping secrets. This is a proverb. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is faithful spirit conceals a matter. And so being able to keep a secret from a friend that is given to you, in this day of social media, it's just so easy to instantaneously take what has been told to you in confidence, and suddenly everybody knows. A few types on your phone and upload, and you have not kept the secret. Your trust has been lost. Speaking truth, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And so, again, we have many opportunities to speak, and we should always tell the truth. Some other things, keeping God's commands. Ezekiel says, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. And so God associates keeping, being obedient, being faithful and keeping his judgments with living. Work. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I'm going to talk about work a little bit more here in just a bit. And then ministry. And I talked about this earlier, the examples that we have with Gaius, Silas, Timothy, Epaphras, and of course, many, many others. So how do we develop this faithfulness? So first of all, make sure of your salvation. So faithfulness, as we see here, is a fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then there are more. I cut it off. So faithfulness was what I wanted to focus on. So being full of faith. If you remember there at the beginning, the dictionary definition that said, you know, full of faith was an obsolete definition of faithfulness. I submit to you that being full of faith through salvation is key to faithfulness, particularly to faithfulness in the things of the Lord. You know, certainly there are people that have a good work ethic, whether they know the Lord or not. They show up to work on time, they work hard. Athletes train hard, whether they, because there is some reward out there for doing that. But being full of faith, being sure of your salvation. Secondly, understand what is important in life. Now, we have many, many opportunities to do things. You know, even today, we can be here in the house of the Lord listening to me talk. Or I understand there's something on television, some movie about Falcons raiding Patriots or something. I don't know. So, I mean, if it was something real important like football, then I could understand skipping. But we have those decisions to make. And what's important in my life may not be the exact same things that are important in your life. And you need to prioritize, but certainly people, things having to do with people need to be top priority. And we can't be faithful at everything. There are so many different opportunities, and so we need to understand what is important and what business we need to be taking care of. Next one here, commit to keeping your promises. And this is where I wanted to return to the work. Find my paper here. So this is a short little story written by a blogger I found online named Amanda, who was writing about faithfulness and how she and her husband taught her kids faithfulness. And she started by talking about when she was young. She said, I got hired at a local grocery store when I was a teenager. I didn't think it was a big deal to call out of work when you didn't feel good or even if you felt like you needed a break. That's what we had done in school, so I thought it was appropriate behavior for the workplace. By the time I was 19, I was running the front end of the grocery store, and I was on the receiving end of phone calls of teenagers who were calling out of work. Not cool. I began to understand the importance of keeping commitments, but I still would not have changed my attitude or behavior because it seemed like everyone felt and behaved the same way I did. It wasn't until we hired a bagger that showed up every single day to work, always dressed right, always professional, always doing what was asked, that I begin to think it was possible to be faithful in a job. So I had to marry him. This way I could learn from him every day. And then she goes on to explain how her husband has worked for the same employee for, I think it was 16 or 17 years, and he'd only missed 2 days of work because he physically couldn't get to work because of snow. And he went the day their children were born, he went with cracked ribs, and the great example that he had been. And so work, we need to take that seriously. You know, other examples up here, paying your bills. You know, when you say that I'm going to, when you buy something on credit, you're making a commitment to paying your bills. Your friends, we talked about friends a little bit earlier, and your need to be committed to them, to hold their secrets, to be friends even when they're not popular. And kids, you have many opportunities around teams and clubs. And if you and your parents decide that this is important for you, you need to make a commitment, you know, to that team or that club to be involved and to not quit halfway through the season. Practice obedience to God. You know, if you have an area in your life that you're struggling with sin, you know, work harder on that. Get accountability. Those of us with children are interested in developing faithfulness with our children. So how do we do that? Just a few brief points. First of all, let them see your faithfulness. You know, the example of, you know, coming here consistently, Sunday after Sunday, indicates to them that this is important to you, that worshiping the Lord is important. Seeing them, letting them see you go to work and be there on time. Reading God's Word on a regular basis, you know, all examples. Again, if you have young children, you know, read them books about faithful people, you know, missionaries, our patriots, many other examples there. You know, surround them with faithful people. You know, many of us are blessed to have parents and grandparents that have been faithful. When I was a kid, my dad was chairman of our missionary committee of our church for many, many years, and a missionary would come to speak. Very often they would end up in our home. How fascinating, listening to the stories, the challenges. You know, missionaries having to hide from that were in communist areas that had to hide, and their faithfulness in going back and overcoming hardship. And then finally, require faithfulness of them. And so, you know, when you as a parent and a child decide that, you know, say athletics, participating in baseball, for example, is important to them, make sure they understand that they're expected to be faithful, to attend practice, to attend games, to not quit in the middle of the season if they decide that they're not, they don't like it anymore. That will help to develop faithfulness. So in conclusion, there are many ways that we can be faithful. We've seen that it's a characteristic of God Himself. We've seen examples from the Bible. I ask each of you to you know, think about areas in your life where you are faithful, or maybe you need to be faithful, and then of course the ultimate reward that comes from that faithfulness that's reflected in this verse. And I think it's the words that we would all hope to hear when we meet Christ in the end. Again, repeating that, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Dear Lord, we just pray that as we go through this series in developing a godly character, that we would take each and every message to heart. Today, we've talked about faithfulness. I just pray for the young people that are in the process of learning that faithfulness, and for their parents that will guide them, that you would give them wisdom and understanding how to guide them into the habit and the character of being faithful. Lord, I pray for each of us as we go on our way, that throughout this week, we will give thought to our opportunities for faithfulness and to make the decisions that you would have us to make. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.